You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Hi everyone, my name's Rick and welcome to the final week of our current preaching series, which has been looking at Holy Communion or breaking bread. We've called it Come to the Table. And for all of those that were able to join us in our virtual prayer room last Sunday where we celebrated the supper, I hope you enjoyed it as much as I do. You know, it was the first time we'd all been together and celebrated the supper in a year. It was so lovely to see all your faces and as we gathered together to celebrate communion and remember the Lord and all he had done for us. It was such a rich time and I hope you enjoyed it and I hope you're looking forward to it this Sunday as well. This week we come to the final of our three lenses that we look at the supper through. 2 weeks ago we looked at the issue or the lens of remembrance. Last week we focused on our communion or our communing with Jesus through the supper. And this week we conclude with hope. And nothing could be more appropriate. We are a week away from Easter Sunday, and as we enter the Holy Week, our focus on hope is just right. The Christian faith without hope isn't the Christian faith at all. Hope penetrates all of our Christian lives. If we are anything, we are a people who are hidden in Christ with our present day and our future secured. And therefore, we are a people of hope. That is why the people of God, you and me, those who are followers of Jesus, are made for such a time as this. Yes, even this time. See, the pandemic has been very difficult for many of us. It's changed the way we've lived and do life. It's asked many difficult questions of many of us. It's caused many of our prejudices and implicit assumptions to boil over. Fears and worries have come to the fore for ourselves, for our children, maybe for our parents and friends. And it will continue to ask questions of us in these coming months. Questions such as, when am I ready to see others? Why aren't we doing such and such now? Or, I don't want to do that now. I saw one headline last week that asked this question, am I ready to be touched again? Referring to the possibility of handshakes and hugs with people. All these questions are going to be swirling around as we emerge out of the pandemic, and our heart is to emerge well in 2021. And we are a family, a people who are uniquely constituted to stand firm, stand true, and bring hope into the world. We are a people who can testify to a genuine Christian hope, a trust-filled ache and joyful anticipation of the return of the ascended Lord who promises to come again, fully establishing a reign in which righteousness and peace kiss each other. Psalm 85 verse 10 to 13 says this, love and faithfulness meet each other, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the heaven and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way of his steps. As we specifically look at the supper through the lens of hope this week, we see that it's not really a discrete and separable aspect of the supper. Remembrance is grounded on hope for the Lord to incorporate us into the divine drama of the covenant. Communion, our communing with him, is rooted in hope that the present sweet fellowship will culminate in the intimacy of the marriage supper of the Lamb. and in hope we feast upon and long for heavenly manna, a taste of God's glorious reign. And as we come to the table, we bring our bodies and our relationships to it, enjoying a foretaste of the harmonious kingdom where all knees bow to Jesus. We feed upon Christ who brings life, whose life in us by the Spirit bears fruit in acts of witness and love in the world. And yet this feeding on Christ, which we're called to do, it satisfies but also makes us more and more hungry. It's a foretaste that brings delight and also a lament, a crying out for the future feast. The supper provides us with a, if you like, a visible sign act that holds within it, the supper holds within it the not yet and the breaking in of the kingdom. We continue to celebrate the supper in remembrance of him. The body broken and the blood shed for us is needed in our lives daily and in the world. We see around us the injustice and the unbelief all around us. Yet in the supper and also in the preaching of the living word and baptism, we hear, taste, and see the kingdom which has begun and which is present today. And yet it also reminds us that the fullness of the kingdom is still to come. It's a kingdom of all nations and races and cultures, all united in Christ as one body to sing praise to their glorious King. He is the person at the very center of the kingdom, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. In Revelation 5, verse 12 to 13, it says this, describing Jesus. In a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." Our hope is in the risen Christ who now sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. In conversation with people over the years, belief in some sort of heaven is more widespread than perhaps we may think. People give references to a heaven of some sort, of loved ones looking down on them from heaven, of heaven being that better place where their loved ones have moved on to, or their use of the word heaven at least as a minimum means somewhere better than the here and now. Yet is the shape and hope of this heaven that's used culturally aligned with the Christian hope of heaven? Culturally speaking, heaven is often framed almost as poetic justice for those who live good enough lives. It often involves an extending of current pleasures for eternity. The best golf courses ever and no green fees. Endless luxury holidays, amazing food at the best restaurants, and whatever it might be for each one of us. Yet in this version of heaven, what you get is a cultural expression of the good life. You get the king without the kingdom, without the king. Scott McKnight, the theologian, describes it this way. He says, "There's a strange absence. There is no God in this heaven." You see, heaven isn't the just reward for people who have lived a good life. Heaven is where Jesus is. Heaven is where every tribe and every tongue come together to declare the praise of their King. It's the place where people who have been saved by grace are invited in. It's the place where all of us who don't actually deserve to be are there. All because of the grace of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Christian hope is different to other types of hope, which often resemble something more of a calculated risk. As much as we want to determine the future in our own strength and in our own wisdom, for followers of Christ, as one author puts it, we look beyond the present only on the basis of promise. Hebrews 11 verse 1 puts it this way: faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And this is why the Lord's Supper is so central for reorientating our hope. It focuses our attention, our affections, our communities upon being nourished by God's promises in Jesus Christ. The supper provides us with an embodied act that trains us, mind and body, to feed upon Christ with our hearts and bodies and minds as individuals and as community. Following Jesus means dwelling, abiding, and making one's home in Jesus himself. It involves feeding on his personal presence, his flesh and blood, as it says in the chapter 6 of John's Gospel. In the Christian community, there is a sign and an instrument of the Spirit given to the church to help the hungry to feed upon Christ in this way, and it is the supper. The Lord's Supper shows how earthy and broken people gather, pray, hear imperfect words in human words in a sermon, and celebrate the supper with bread and wine. In doing so, the supper is a sign of the new order which has once and for all broken into the world in Jesus Christ. A divided people come together to feed upon Christ, to taste the future by the Spirit. The great gospel hope is not just that we will all know God, but that we will be fully known and loved by the Lord of all. 1 Corinthians 13 verses 12 and 13 says this: "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." And these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. "And then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." The supper reflects to us, imperfect and partial as it may be in this age, the one new humanity in Christ, the love, unity, and reconciliation we seek at the table speaks to this one new humanity. As we saw last week, you and I don't send the invites. We aren't the masters or the host of the table. We don't choose the brothers and sisters who sit down next to us. We simply come invited because the God of the universe has extended grace to us in Christ Jesus. At the table, we gather as hungry, broken communities to eat and drink, to taste and see the goodness of the Lord, and to experience a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. Even now at the table, we are able to see a glimpse of the hope we have in Christ. C.S. Lewis said this: "There are three things that spread the Christ life to us: baptism, belief and that mysterious action which different Christians call by different names: Holy Communion, the Mass, the Lord's Supper. These are the conductors of the new kind of life. The Father is pleased to feed his children at a banquet, the meal of his covenant family. And in the sharing of the bread and the cup, our aching bodies are lifted by the Spirit to enjoy communion with Christ, a taste of our heavenly home. Our hope is found in something both strange and familiar, beyond comparison and the bounds of imagination, and yet so close to us as people of the Word and the table. Our hope is in the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. Through the embodied action of eating and drinking with the family of God at the table of the Lord, we experience and express an essential aspect of the gospel itself. The promises of the gospel, like the supper, lead us to ache and long for the kingdom in its fullness. The hope, this hope we have, is not a disembodied spirituality or limited to a single person's salvation. The supper is given, at least in part, for expanding and deepening our embrace of the good news. It is a gift for us in our weakness and in our sin, for we are tempted to reduce down the gospel and the good news and to make it more manageable and palatable. Rather than losing our lives and following the Lord, we try to remain in control of certain aspects of our lives. We can be tempted to remember the cross, but separate it from the resurrection and ascension. The supper displays the good news of the Lord, that he was crucified, died, and rose again on the third day. He was ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. We also see in the supper that the dying, rising, and being lifted up is part of our story by the Spirit. We can be tempted to sentimentalize fellowship with Christ so that the closeness with him means that he simply supports us on our way while leaving spheres of our lives out of his control. But the supper we taste and see that our communion with Christ is both wonderful and dangerous. For loving communion with that anticipates the wedding feast not only brings delight, but also calls us to repentance and to repent the ways that we betray our first love. We can be tempted to turn heaven into an altogether otherworldly place of wish fulfillment, a disembodied place where all of our dreams come true. However, at the supper, we join the company of believers and of heaven to sing praises to the Lamb of God as we find our true home in God's dwelling place amongst his people. We can be tempted to find our identity in countless places, be they social status or economic security or our own pious attitudes or charitable actions. But at the supper, we enact our identity as children of the Father, feeding upon Jesus Christ by the Spirit, delighting in Christ and in fellowship with one another. Jesus Christ, who is the good news, is the host and the feast. He is the temple and the sacrifice, our spouse and our King. He is our Lord. We are not the central actors. He is. We are not in charge. He is. We need to return to the source of our life, Jesus Christ, made known to us by his Spirit and through the Bible, through baptism, and through the supper. When you think about it, for creatures that are very much bodily, we spend a lot of time in our heads, assuming that our thinking always drives our action. And when we do this, we can easily domesticate the good news of Jesus into a set of ideas to believe and a set of doctrines to follow. But if this happens, Jesus becomes a thin, colorless, one-dimensional person. We cannot assume that with our rightly ordered doctrine and believing the right things that all is well with our Christian life. I'm not sure about you, but for me, my lived experience, my actions, thoughts, and behaviors often betray the neatly held ideas in my head. Thinking the right thing and living the Christ life are not always synonymous. In coming to the table and also the waters of baptism and the preaching of the word, we move away from this one-dimensional view to a Jesus who is rich and full of life and strong and vibrant. For the supper exposes our hunger and draws us to Christ. In the supper, the heart of the Christian life is expressed, enacted, and nourished by the Spirit. It leads us to taste, delight, and dwell in the Lord's presence, longing for His sweetness and the reconciled fellowship of His church. Jesus Christ, at His second coming, will have the final word. Until then, we gather at the table and are sent into the world as children of the Father who have tasted heaven by the Spirit and long for more. We are freed to offer ourselves to God as living sacrifices because we have tasted the end. We know what it is and what it is not. We know that the kingdom and all that is our hope doesn't look like hatred, unforgiveness, division, or injustice. We are freed to move towards the abused and the broken because we have tasted the end and we know that sin and death are not the final word. We are freed to befriend the lonely and the forgotten because we know that alienation and isolation don't have the final word. Jesus Christ is the final word. Jesus Christ is the living word. And Jesus Christ is our hope today, tomorrow, on Easter Sunday, and forever. Once again, the Father invites you. Jesus invites you. Come to the table. Sit down beside me. Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Bless you and have a great week.